The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
And so one of the premises that I have for this Ethics and Enlightenment program is that people can become ethical. We can do the cultivation of ethical people as opposed to understanding ethics, as opposed to having an abstract ethics that we live by, that somehow that ethics arises out of who we are, and who we are has changed over time. We've developed and grown, our hearts are opened, we have less attachments, less greed, hate, and delusion operating. And that with that change that happens through practice, that we have a reference point that's very personal for finding our way to what is ethical, what avoids causing harm. And so I said in one of the first essays of this program that the Buddha was probably more interested in creating ethical people than creating a code of ethics or a system of ethics or a theory of ethics. And so in that regard, each of you is an ethical person. Each of you is a person who makes ethical choices and decisions all the time. Sometimes you don't think of them as ethical, but and to be an ethical person is not only to do what's ethical, but also to be ethically reflective, to be able to reflect, because a lot of situations in our life it's not easy to understand what's the ethical thing, and you know you can't just go to a rule book and find out. You have to figure out what. Given the consequences, given the circumstances, given all these different situations, the ethics of it changes. And so how do you understand it? What point of view do you take and all that? So to be able to think about these things in a intentional way, deliberate way, is part of what it means to be ethical. And so then it comes to the question of the foods we eat. And to eat in an ethical way would include being ethically reflective about the food you eat, meaning that you would give some consideration about what you eat, and you would have, and those considerations would be ethical in nature. They would be motivated by the desire to reduce harm and suffering in this world, maybe motivated by compassion, maybe motivated by a variety of things. And so, you look at your food choices, and then it's one thing to have your own ethics for yourself, but it's not uncommon in our society for people then to have ideas of what other people should do about their food choices, and what should be the norm or something, So it's one thing to decide for oneself. What happens when we extend it out to look at other people and we have judgments or ideas about what they should be doing with their food choices? And when does it, it makes some sense maybe to do a little bit. If the Buddha says that we're supposed to advocate for an ethical life, not killing, for example, and encourage that, does that mean that we're judging other people because they kill their animals that they eat? Or do we judge that? Or what's our relationship to what people do? And so it's actually two different topics I'm raising here. One is the nature of personal choices, and a whole different kind of species of human mental activity is evaluating, assessing, judging what other people should be doing. And with food, there has been a lot of opinions that people have been caring for themselves and applying to other people. I'm old enough to have watched all these trends go through, food trends. And it's phenomenal to watch these food trends come and they go. And what's amazing is to watch the passion behind them. You know, this is it, you know. And then some decade later, people have forgotten about that. You know, how many of you when's the last time some of you thought about Zen macrobiotic cooking? There was a time when that was a big deal. And you better, you know, not stand in front of someone on the macrobiotic diet path and run you right over. So the ethics of eating. So what I'd like to suggest or ask you to do is to pair up with someone else. And each of you to take 15 minutes to have, it's not exactly a monologue, but mostly a monologue. The listener can be an active listener, which means you can ask occasional easy questions, you know, say something that tells your person speaking that you've heard what they're saying, you understand what they're saying. You're not to give any advice as the active listener, and you're not to ask rhetorical questions, meaning questions where you're trying to teach them something or trying to get them to change something, or, you know, like, and just, you know, very simple, just kind of, it's mostly you ask questions as a way of supporting the person who's speaking to help them with their exploration of this topic. So, and you might be asked, as a listener, you might say very little, but you're welcome to kind of be a little bit active as a participating that way. And as you're speaking, the topic is, what ethical consideration goes into the foods that you eat? Or you never had any? That's interesting. That might be interesting to consider and explore. What ethical issues are related to how you eat food? What ways have you been thinking about food in ethical terms? In the food you choose to eat? And part of that might be, how do you justify the choices you have in how you eat, what you eat? Is there an ethical justification, or is there other ways of justifying it? And then kind of in the same kind of family of concerns is, in the choices you make for what to eat, does compassion ever come into play? Is that ever a part of the consideration? So what are the ethical considerations that go into the foods you eat? And what I'm interested in is more of a deeper reflection about where you look at how you think about these things ethically. I'm less interested in when you're speaking, that you tell the other person all the things about you already know about yourself. That you're just kind of like one more time saying, well, you know, I don't eat chocolate because chocolate comes from slave laborers, and you've given this little speech about chocolate before, you're just kind of like on your soapbox now about chocolate, you know, like the, you know, and you're not learning anything. The idea is that ideally you're the one who's going to learn the most. The listener is your supporter for your exploration. You're not having this conversation to inform the listener something. Most conversations, we're trying to inform the listener something or have an effect on the listener. You're not trying to teach the listener anything. They're there as you kind of just stretch and explore and look at what goes into it. And so, for example, you know, if you remember those four approaches to ethics that we've talked about in this course, which of those come into play for you personally, and you think about the ethics of your food choices? That might be an interesting exploration to look at it. Maybe you never looked at it that point of view, or maybe there's ways in which you have never really thought about the ethics of what you eat, and this gives you a chance to, well, maybe I should, let me try to think about it out loud, talk about it out loud. And that, or it could be that that there's competing ethics going on, there competing concerns, and there's actually some tension in your food choices because you have, you know, you have one hand you believe one thing, and the other hand there's another thing operating, and it, how do you work together with that? For example, we don't eat meat at home, but our older son was a unrepentant carnivore. So my wife cooked him meat. But, you know, it's like, you know, who, you know, what, is that, you know, that's a little, that's a little awkward, or a little, but there was a little bit of a, you know, tension there between the two. So, but, you know, there was a, caring for the son was important. And so the ethics of being a parent versus the ethics of these animals, and, you know, were kind of in play somehow. So does that give you enough? So 15 minutes each. When you... Yes. Yeah. The way I was taught to do these 15-minute exercises was really a monologue. And it's long enough that you really begin going into areas that you haven't really ever thought about. You have to keep going. And it's just mostly a monologue, and the listener just listens. But here, with the active listening, maybe it can be a little bit easier because the listener can just prompt you a little bit and support you. And hopefully you'll stretch and go into it, and maybe there'll be pauses for a while as you kind of consider and reflect more and before you speak. And as you speak and you listen to yourself, maybe things will come out. And what I'd like to do is to ask you to each pair, if you could time yourself. Hopefully you have some way of doing that. And if not, then... And then when you finish your 2 15-minute rounds, that you spend about 5 minutes or so debriefing, just maybe 10 minutes, just talking about what that was like. More open, talking about what it was like, what it was like to have that reflection, what it was like to be listened to, and what came up for you, and just something about it, the follow-up. So that will take us to a little bit, 2:35. 2:35. Is that going to work? So I don't know if we're odd or even here right now, but there's all, this kind of situation, just walk towards the front, right, if you can't find anyone, and then either you'll find someone or we'll have one group of three. So, but don't choose, don't make yourself a group of three, because that happens, and we get 2, 3 groups of threes. So why don't you find someone, and you can start when you're ready. So I would love to hear what it was like to have that kind of discussion about ethics. So not the details so much about what you discovered or what came out about the ethics of eating for you, but what was it like to have to reflect in that kind of ethical way?
So it was nice being able to talk through without judgment, period.
Nice, very nice. And that's not something you have experience with?
I find food fairly loaded. I mean, I have, it's something that I've thought about a lot and investigated. Ah. And, you know, you talk to 10 people, they'll have 10 ideas about what the correct way is, and there's a lot of people are very opinionated yeah. about it. So in my experience, it's hit or miss, just having a casual conversation about food, whether or not, you know, I'm going to be, ends up talking with someone who, you know, starts telling me, this is the right thing uh-huh. to do.
That's great. Fantastic. So 15 minutes uninterrupted by other people's opinions. Thank you. That's great. I can think it's actually quite important to have that opportunity. Comments about what it was like to have that kind of way of thinking, reflecting.
Minutes is a long time.
How many of you are surprised it went faster than you expected?
I started thinking about other things I could say. Kind of depleted this one.
I think it's part of the idea is to deplete the obvious things, and then you have to stretch into new areas.
That's what I was thinking, yeah. And also, it gets a little bit almost free association.
Could be, yeah.
It was interesting to see that Don and I both saw that there are a lot of moral ambiguities in almost any of the choices we can make, that there aren't really any absolutes. But I was pleased to see that we had both given lots of thought to pros and cons.
Great.
It was nice to see that bottom line, whatever choices we end up making, we both had a lot of caring about it.
Great. So you had an opportunity to reflect and experience the caring quality of ethical reflection. That's nice.
It was interesting, I think, in both of our conversations, there was a sense that our ethical choices are really bound up with our relationships with other people and how to work things out.
So it wasn't just you and the food?
No.
Great. It's interesting. So the social aspect of our ethics. Were any of you surprised by something that you said or came out of your mouth in those 15 minutes? You said something new or something. It's all old stuff. It's on.
Yeah. After we went through this, kind of getting more inclinations to purify and purify and purify. Then at the end, I started remembering, again, my Zen Center experience, and remember a rather ardent macrobiotic asked Suzuki Roshi some kind of question about food, and Suzuki Roshi said, well, all food is pretty good. My memory of that time was it was much more no preference was the emphasis, and the ethics of no preference. So, and there are a lot of examples of that.
Great.
In our in my share, I realized that I don't know if it's pride, but I consider myself omnivorous, that I'll eat most things. And what I realized is that there's a certain ease about that, because whatever's offered is like, oh yeah, sure, that looks good. And not that I'll eat everything, but I'm not a picky eater that way. And so it just made me aware that there's a, I don't know how to say it, I don't know if it's pride, but a graciousness of just kind of going with what's offered. On the flip side, I don't necessarily look, you know, like this chicken, what that chicken went through, or the egg, and that's a place where I feel like I can put more attention, you know, just what's behind the food.
What's behind the food? So one thing is the ethics of what, the ethics of what's gifted to you, if you're just given something, and the other thing is, what do you, what, you know, food is offered, and you accept it with no preference. But what if you have to be the person who has preferences at the supermarket in terms of what do you buy? Is that, Suzuki Roshi, you know, the only story I know about Suzuki Roshi being in the supermarket was he bought the oldest vegetables because he felt sorry for them. But the, you know, so there's the ethics change when it, when the question is not what do we eat, but what do we buy? And what does buying imply? Yes?
So my sister, who is not a Buddhist, has been a big educator to me in this regard. For years, she ran a blog that basically the premise of the blog is every purchase we make communicates.
Yeah.
Every purchase we make communicates something to someone who's causing that thing to be available or to become more available.
Yeah.
And that can go anywhere from the ethics of the meat market to global corporations and ethics and supply chains and workforces, all of it.
I like to think that everything we buy puts a spin on the money, and so it depends. So, you know, if I feel very I feel very lucky that, you know, I feel very fortunate that the money that I use to buy things has been Dana money. It's money I received from people like you, and I feel it's very special, and I feel I have to be the custodian of that money carefully. And so if I went out and bought cigarettes and alcohol with that money, that would put a different spin on it. I've received a very nice spin, and then I would give a different spin. So what spin do I want to put? What influence do I want to have on society? And if I buy alcohol or buy cigarettes, I have a different, I communicate something, or I put a spin, I put energy into something in our society or I'd rather not put energy into. Yes? Or chocolate?
So in our share, I think one thing I realize is this kind of speaks to what you mentioned about the premise of this program in terms of cultivating ethical people, right, as opposed to having a bunch of ethic guidelines. I would find that I've become increased frequency and level of ethical consideration for the food that I eat as I have engaged in this practice.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, if I, you know, in kind of my share, I say, well, what, you know, what were some of the points of really this arising of the ethical consideration?
Uh-huh.
And I would date it to when I started the Eightfold Path a few years ago. And then over time, it's not that I'm seeking it, but it just has... If I think of food, it's always been more me intentionally for the nutritional value. But what seems to come up on its own has been these ethical considerations.
Nice.
So then, I think that kind of speaks to the premise you mentioned.
Peter, I'm very happy to hear that. So then I have a question for you. As you've given more ethical consideration in your life more and more, has that made you less happy or more happy? Or is it nothing to do with happiness?
I think I wouldn't put the word happiness, but more that wholesomeness and well-being, that seems to speak more to it.
So rather than the ethical consideration being a drag and weighing you down, it brings wholesomeness.
Yeah.
Oh, great, that's music to my ears.
Because when I eat something I like, it brings me happiness too. So that's
great.
So I think the wholesome and the well-being.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. So that's a very nice. I mean, that's the hope. I think one of the hopes of this kind of exploration of ethics, not that you're going to be weighed down with all the shoulds and the guilt and obligation, but rather it actually lightens you and nourishes you, and you feel the goodness of it, and you're happy to reflect this way. I think we can't expect to have an ethical world unless being ethical somehow makes us feel nourished, wholesome, good, happy, and that's the goal. So where do we find that? So, let's take a short break. Let's start again in here. Can we start again here at 3 o'clock? So it's a little bit, just a little over 10 minutes, so that we can do the last half an hour. Great.